the Walren Ranch Company House. In the 1870s, small operators, fur traders, discharge mounties experimented with turning cattle out on the prairie to measure their gains. So they would just throw them out over the summer, and when they come back, they'd weigh them and see how they had progressed. And this was sort of the start of the cow-calf industry in southwestern Alberta. Now, these small successes led to a Dominion government policy that allowed corporate syndicates and individuals to be able to lease up to 100,000 acres of land. And get this, 1 cent per acre per year. I think we'd all love to have rental deals like that. But these ranches were designed to give birth to the industry in what is now southwestern Alberta. At that point in time, Alberta existed as an entity, as a territorial district of the larger Northwest Territories. With the proper political and economic backing, accompanied by a favorable climate and the grazing areas, the result was a series of flourishing corporate and also family ranches. In 1883, the Walrund was largely financed by Sir John Walrund. And I'm not stuttering, that is basically how this British laird pronounced his name, with a hyphenated between both names. And he was a wealthy British politician, and there was a lot of money stemming from outside of the area, from Britain, from Quebec and Ontario, and from the United States, to capitalize upon this Dominion Range deal. To operate as the general manager of the ranch, Walrund hired a veterinarian named Duncan McEachran, who once made his residence inside this ranch company house. Now, that Walrund Range straddled the North Fork of the Old Man River, encompassing much of the grazing lands west and southwest of the Porcupine Hills and the Front Range of the Rocky Mountains. In 1883, 3,000 head of cattle were trailed north from Montana, and that established the founding herd of the Walrund. The ranch prospered over many decades, in spite of the storied harsh winters of 1886 and 1887, and the really bad one of 1906 and 1907. The Walrund land holdings were eventually acquired by a Nevada concern, and the beef baron, Pat Burns, assumed much of the grazing lease. The name of Walrund was often mispronounced as Waldron, and the terms were used interchangeably. It's just when you've got British tongues and American tongues and French-Canadian tongues, well, I guess things just sort of take on their own use. Now, that interchangeability eventually became the Waldron. The ranch as an entity continued to operate until 1962, when a cooperative venture under the name of Waldron was established by area ranchers, and that's W-A-L-D-R-O-N. So after that time in 1962, the range was turned over back to the Crown, who still retained the ownership of the property, as a grazing lease, and run by area farmers and ranchers as a cooperative that still operates to this day. Now, this large heritage building was constructed in 1894 of local timbers squared by broad axes. The house provided living and social quarters for the various ranch managers and their families from 1883 through to the 1950s. In the kitchen, a professional cook, known as the chuck wagon cook, kept the cupboard stocked with food and the stoves operating constantly. When ranch hands were working at the main ranch, meals were taken in the kitchen. Between serving the ranch manager's family and the shifts work of the cowboys, mealtimes were very sporadic, with diners coming and going at all hours. so the coffee was kept hot and the stew pot full and the bread fresh at all times. When cowhands were out on herding duties, or in the spring or fall roundup, the cook was called out to go with them, managing temporary camps and meal service from the chuck wagon. Now, the ranch building is unique in that it not only contained the manager's quarters, but also the ranch office and the bunkhouse for the cowboys. Usually on most ranches, these were separate buildings, but the Walrond was sort of an omnibus use building. So the offices were located in what is now serves as the photo display room. And adjacent was the large parlor, where a large focal point where the ranching elite, where Dr. McEachran's colleagues and his rivals were entertained. Off the parlor, two well-appointed bedrooms housed the manager's family or notable guests. Off the kitchen, the lengthy adjacent bunkhouse quartered many of the Walrond cowboys. Much of that bunkhouse did not survive the salvaging of the ranch house. So in its original location, the photographic evidence shows that the bunkhouse was actually about 30 feet longer than what you see when you visit the village. So the remaining portion is interpreted as a tack room, and next door sheltered the hired men's saddles, their riding tacks, branding irons, and other gear. So by the early 1980s, the ranch house had started to fall into disuse, and it was acquired by Kootenai Brown Pioneer Village and was transported in two sections and reassembled on the grounds around about 1985. And the Walrond Ranch Company House, just because there is a very storied history of ranching in southwestern Alberta, as in one of the primary industries, one of the founding industries of the province, the region, and one that continues to flourish, not only because of Western traditions, but purely because of a business, because we all eat. If you go back 150 years, there was a great demand for regularly shaped sources of beef across the country. And Alberta beef has proven to be a very viable product around the world and is still a very vital industry in Canada and Alberta and around the world. You